take our Bibles and return to the chapter, the eighth chapter of the Gospel of John. John chapter 8. As we consider today a subject that perhaps you have not thought much of this week, maybe not thought of at all, and maybe for some of you, you've thought too much. And that is the person of the devil. What does Jesus say about him? So that we may be rightly orientated in what we think about him. John chapter 8, and we are back in this conversation that Jesus is having with some of the Jews that were standing around him. And let us pick up this conversation again in verse 34. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore you also do the things which you heard from your father." They answered and said to him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God." Our Heavenly Father, these are your words given through your Holy Spirit. They are alive and active. They are true not only the moment when they were first penned, they are true today. We pray that you would help us to understand our adversary, but help us not to worship him. May we know about him, but not serve him. May we be well aware of his tactics, but may we not fear him, but fear you alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Mention the devil in any group and you may get all kinds of reactions. The first thing that may come up is this mental image provided for us through various kinds of media where there is this reddish, strong-looking figure with some sort of pointy tail on the backside and a pointy pitchfork up front as he's holding it. That is of the media and not of the Bible. Say the word "the devil" and you may have folks laugh at you for believing such an old-fashioned notion. say the word the devil, and you may have people who reprimand you for trying to conjure him up, and we don't want him in our midst. Well, I'm not worried about him. Jesus is here. If the devil wants to come and hear of Jesus, he can come and hear. But he will hear of his defeat and not of his dominion over any of God's saintly ones. What are we to think of the devil as people who believe in him? Well, let's look at what our Lord and Savior thought of the devil so that we may know what to think of him. Now, this is not going to be a full, systematic, expansive review of all that the Bible has to say about our adversary. But there's enough that Jesus says here that I think should instruct us as we continue in our journey through the Gospel of John. He's going to mention the devil again, and so let's lay some groundwork. First, number one, Jesus believes in a literal devil. Jesus believes, or Jesus admits to, Jesus believes in the existence of a literal devil. Jesus did not believe that the devil or Satan was some sort of ethereal force in the universe. Jesus did not call the devil the dark side. Jesus believed that the devil was a very real, existent being. We see that the Lord Jesus uses throughout this text, if you'll refresh your grammar a little bit, he uses a personal pronoun. He does not use an impersonal pronoun such as it, but continuously refers to him as he, his, him, your father. This is important to pick up because when Jesus speaks of his heavenly Father, the first person of the Trinity, he is certainly speaking of a literal existent being. And he speaks of the devil being the father of all those who refuse to listen to Jesus. Also a literal existent being. He speaks of his father as a real being. And if you are going to believe God as a real being from this text, then you also have to believe Jesus when he speaks of the devil as a real literal being. Well, what kind of being is he then? He is an angel. He is a fallen angel. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Son of God the way that we would think of Jesus our Lord. Why would I want to take pains to point this out to you? Because some of you have neighbors and friends and coworkers who they are taught on a morning like this that Satan, Lucifer, is Jesus' brother. Pastor Ken, no one really believes that. Oh, yes, they do. Your Mormon friends are taught that Lucifer, Satan, is Jesus' brother. And the whole reason why Lucifer is out to get Jesus in the Gospels is because God the Father liked Jesus' plan to save men better than Lucifer's. And so when he accepted Jesus' plan, Lucifer the brother decided he was going to do everything he could to thwart his brother's plan to redeem the souls of men. Did you know that about your Mormon friends? They may be very moral, but they are steeped in heresy and error. They do not worship the one true God. Your friends, your relatives, your co-workers, your neighbors who are Jehovah's Witnesses also believe, though they may not hear it as of late, that Lucifer is the brother to Jesus. The second leader of the Jehovah's Witnesses in writings in the turn of the 19th or 20th century writes this: the names of the three great beings herein made conspicuous and known to us are Jehovah the Father and the Logos, and Lucifer, his sons. But Lucifer is not the son or a son of God. He is an angel. He is not eternal. He is a created being, created by God. In your handout, as you were coming in and as you had some moments to prepare for worship, there were several scripture verses given, and I'll let you read the scripture verses in their total and perhaps this afternoon go back and read over them. But in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, we are given some descriptions of this angel and that he was beautiful to behold. He looked as bejeweled, dazzling, brilliant, and he was given a position of great honor as he served God. Now, think about this for a moment. Can angels be eternal? No. That would make them God. Only God is eternal. So all angels, whether holy, God-loving angels, or unholy, fallen, sin-loving angels, are limited in their being, for they are created. However, this angel, as he was serving the Lord, became covetous, as you read the scriptures, and desired the place of prominence. He wanted the throne of heaven for himself. It was a sin of pride. Pride of his own glory, of his own beauty, as you read the scriptures. Pride of his own glory, of his own being, of his own abilities. And he said to himself that he could be the one to rule all the universe. And so not only did he decide to rise up against God, he brought a whole band of other angels to his side. And so began the struggle of Satan, the accuser, against God. But God booted him out. Booted them all. And Jesus says a third of them fell out of heaven. So Satan is an angel. The devil is a fallen angel. And he opposes God to this day. Because God was victorious over him in the past. And he will continue to be victorious over him now and in the future. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Notice that in the text that we have before us, that the devil has desires. There in verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. What are the desires of the devil? To kill and destroy. Jesus will tell us this later on in the Gospel of John. It is the desire of Satan to oppose and thwart the plan of God to redeem man back to himself. This is the whole reason why Satan was after Adam and Eve at the very beginning. If he could thwart their progress, then he could thwart the rest of the plan. This is why the babes were killed even during Jesus' day. All the babes of 2 years and under, Satan trying to work through King Herod to kill off the Messiah, even as he is born. From the beginning, it has been the intention of this created being to thwart the plan of salvation of God. He has desires. And he has deeds. Look here in verse 41. You are doing the deeds of your father. We see, and we'll take a look at just in just a moment, that the primary deeds that Jesus speaks of in this text are what? Murder and lying. Murder and lying. He does deeds, he has desires, and perhaps most frighteningly, the devil has a family. The devil is a great ape, a great mimicker, a great imitator. God the Father has a family. And the devil, who wishes to be God, he himself has a family as well. Well, who's the family of God? Well, we know who are in the family of God. God himself, the Son, and the Holy Spirit make up the triune head of the family of God. You could perhaps include the angels within the household, the servants of God, but particularly those who follow after Jesus, who believe in Him and receive in Him alone, trust in Him alone for the removal of their sins. They are given the right to be called children of God. And all those who refuse to follow after Jesus are left to be the children of the devil. He says this not just once, and perhaps you could excuse Jesus of some exaggeration, but rather he says it three times in this text. He says it in verse 38, your father. He says it in verse 41. He speaks of the deeds of your father. And then in verse 44, he makes it abundantly clear. You are of your father, the devil. Perhaps the most sobering question I can ask you this morning is this. Which family are you on? Which family do you belong to? Which family are you in? For there are only two. The family of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Or the family of devil because you refuse Jesus Christ. So Jesus believes in a literal devil. And since Jesus is perfect, I suggest that you and I believe in a literal devil as well. However, as we believe in Him, let us remember that He is but a created being. And as a created being, He does not have the ability to be in all places at all times. He is finite. As a created being, He does not have all knowledge. He knows that which He can observe. As a finite being, He is not omnipotent. He does not have all power. Which is good news for us. Because we serve the One who does have all power. Well, let us look then what else we can discern from Jesus concerning the devil. Not only the life of, the actuality of, the literalness of a particular being called the devil. He is called many things in Scripture. But let us also see that Jesus recognizes the tactics of the devil. Jesus recognizes the tactics of the devil. And what are they? He begins here. In verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Now, in what way could we say that the devil is a murderer? Well, what do we mean by the beginning? What did Jesus mean by the beginning, more importantly? He means the beginning as in Adam and Eve. And remember that there in the garden, the serpent, Satan, he had the woman to question the Word of God and brought in some doubt and began to tempt her. And, of course, there was this line, you will not surely die. But she did die, as did Adam, by taking of the fruit of the tree. They died physically in time, but they died spiritually at the moment of rebellion. And so he was a murderer from the beginning. I'd be willing to argue, if maybe that's too strong a word, willing to present to you that he's been in the business of ruining lives even before the beginning of time. Remember the halls of heaven. For he ruined not only his own life, but in deceiving a third of the angels, he ruined their eternities as well. And ever since the beginning, the evil one, see, this is why we pray, deliver us from the evil one in the Lord's Prayer. The evil one seeks to make us to stay in our sin, to long for our sin, to rebel against the Lord, and in so doing, ensuring our continued death in sin How does he do his murderous ways? Well, Jesus brings us to the second tactic, also in verse 44. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Where do we find truth? We find it in the Word of God, do we not? We find the truth in the person of Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. Well, we find God's revealed truth in the Word of God. And Satan does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. Now this is it. He is not a liar because he lies. He lies because he is a liar. That is his nature. At the core of his being, he does nothing except to tell lies. And this is why when he opens his mouth, lies comes out. For he is a liar and the father of lies. It is the business of the devil to take God's word and to make you doubt it. To make you believe a lie that the God who is presented in the Scriptures is somewhat not who He is. Remember the Garden of Eden. God is jealous that if you eat this fruit, you'll become like Him. Such a jealous, petty God. Oh, it was a loving God who is seeking to preserve and keep innocent His children. Do not eat this fruit. Well, the devil wants you to believe lies about God and His relationship with you. Instead of reading the Word and remembering the Word of God, who God has revealed Himself to be. So the devil lies about the person of God. The devil lies about the plans of God. God has said, "You will die, Eve." God has not surely said that, has He? "You will not surely die." God said, you better hold to what God says, not to the dark, shadowy figure who's making you question what God says. It is the devil who would whisper into each of our ears, oh yes, Jesus is a way. But if you try hard enough, you can find your own way. It is the devil who will say, oh, Jesus is a fine man, but there are other ways that perhaps you could try if you don't like Jesus to come into the kingdom of God. But Jesus tells us over in John 10, He is one who comes to kill and destroy. So anytime that you are beginning to hear words that go counter to the Word of God, remember, those words are meant to kill and destroy you. Now think about this. Let's say there was a bottle of strychnine. For those of you who don't know, that's a poison. On your table in front of you in the morning when you came out. And there very clearly was the word, "Poison will cause death. Do not drink." Signed, God. And then there came this voice that says, "You know, sure does smell sweet." Sure is pretty to look at. Maybe just a little. And yet, that is what you and I do with every single sin. God says, "Don't." And we play with it just long enough to convince ourselves, just a little. But it means death. Or God says, "Do. You are free. Welcome. Come." And something inside us says, "I don't know. I think I'll hold off." Well, that's disobedience too. The devil speaks lies to us so that we will disobey our Heavenly Father. He is a liar. He sows doubt into our minds about what God has actually said. And he will even go so far, and I don't know how to explain this fully, but Jesus said in Luke 8:12, that even while the word is being cast out, even while the word is being proclaimed, even as the scriptures are being read aloud, the devil seeks to come and pick up those seeds before they take roots. The devil cannot stand the truth. And he does not want you to hear or abide by the truth. The truths of God's word, to love the Son and to obey Him. Do you abide by that? The truth of God's word, to be holy, as God is holy. The truth of God's word, to love one another, and that by doing this, others will know that you are my disciples. To live in peace as much as it is possible with you, Romans 12. Let there be no grumbling or complaining. To submit yourselves to authorities. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. These are the words of God, and what do we do with them? Do we heed them and listen to them? Or do we fall prey to the influence of Satan? Be of sober spirit and be on the alert, says Peter. 1 Peter 5:8-11. In fact, some of you are turning, let's go there, because I want to use this as a word of encouragement, even as we're speaking about the tactics of the evil one. 1 Peter 5:8-11. In fact, let's go up to verse 6. Because verses 6 and 7 speak of a good preventative to ward off the evil one. 1 Peter 5, let's look at verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. You become proud. You begin to think to yourself that you know more than mom and dad, that you know more than God Himself, and you are falling right into the open trap of Satan. That's where he wants you, in pride. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be of sober spirits. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil. Now, Peter's writing to believers at this point. Remember this. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Listen, He who has called you may allow you to be sifted for a time like Peter himself. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus. Satan has requested to sift you, Peter. But afterwards, there may be a sifting for each of us on a Monday or on a Tuesday when we are having godly thoughts, and then this thought comes in our minds that perhaps we should not live according to God's word in some area in our lives. Remember, we are to resist Satan. That God will perfect and confirm and strengthen and establish you. To Him be dominion. To who? To Christ be dominion in our lives, not the devil. This is to be our goal in daily living. May Christ have rule in our lives. To Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. The devil, says Augustine, pastor in the 3rd century, the devil, as a solace for his own damnation, seeks others whose companionship he may obtain in that damnation. Satan does not want to be alone for all eternity. And he seeks others to be with Him. But He does not make the godly wicked. He cannot. He cannot make the godly and the saved into the unsaved. The devil does not have that kind of power. But He will tempt even the godly in areas of weakness, as we saw last week, even as He did with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only following the baptism, but at other locations within His earthly ministry. The devil has no power to create the wicked, says J.C. Ryle. He only finds them born in sin, and working upon their sinful nature obtains an influence that he becomes practically the father of the wicked. How does he become our father? With a heart to murder, and that through lies. That by twisting and making us to doubt the very word of God about God Himself, about His commandments, about our futures. Now, this is where most of us stop. And we hear of an ugly, minded, eternally rebellious being who is going through the earth seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not diligent to read Scripture, we may think that the devil has great power over us, when in fact he is nothing but an idiot. Who else would oppose God so long? Who else would oppose God with the same old tried tactics? He is not smart. He's not coming up with anything new. He is weak. And the only strength he has is when we say yes to his lies. We must hear that Jesus believes in the literal devil. For our own alertness and awareness, we must recognize the tactics of the devil, that he seeks to lie by distorting the word of God. But my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we must hear this third word this morning. That is, Jesus delivers from the power of the devil. Jesus delivers from the power of the devil. He fully delivers from the power of the devil. For those who trust in Him. And there's the question. Let us read some scriptures that prove this. We read this one last week, Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children, speaking of us, share in flesh and blood, He, the Lord Jesus Himself, likewise also partook of the same, that through death He might render powerless. He might render him no power who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So that all those who come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ are what? Victorious over the devil, because the devil is now the defeated foe of Jesus Christ and all his followers. The devil has no more power over us. His only power was the fear of death, and yet Jesus Christ has given us the hope of life. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, stop worrying about the devil. I had a very dear friend who would regularly, he was older in years, and regularly come to me with concern, Pastor Ken, if I'm presented with a sin, how do I know, is this of the devil or is this of my flesh? And I would tell him, it doesn't matter. Resist. Flee. Do not do that sinful deed. Don't worry about the devil. We can give ourselves, even as believers, way too much mental authority to the devil, or mental thoughts about the devil, instead of thinking about the glorious power of our Savior Jesus Christ. Even if you should think for a moment, oh, the devil's making me do this. But God is helping you say no. Which is greater? In the child of God, the child of God will always turn to the Father and say, help me, and I trust and live in you. I'm not mad. I'm just pleading with you. Please, do not give the devil a foothold by giving him too much space in your heart. He is nothing. He is already defeated by Christ. Should we be aware of him? Absolutely. Should we be surprised by him? Absolutely not. Do we know what he's up to? Absolutely. Now look into Christ and move on. 1 John 3:8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose. To destroy, not weaken, to destroy the works of the devil. So in Hebrews 2:14, the devil is made powerless because of Christ Jesus. And if Christ Jesus is in you, then we need to hear 1 John 4:4, He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. In Christ Jesus, we are, in the words of Romans 8, overcomers. Jesus has done away with any power that the devil had through the power of death. Through Jesus Christ, there is power over the devil because all his works of seeking me to sin or seeking me to move away from the Father or displease the Father or to believe the lies of the devil, those are all destroyed if I keep my eyes focused on Christ. But the moment I take my eyes off Christ, place them onto self, or place them onto the world, or to the culture, or to everybody else, I become fair game for the evil one to prowl nearby. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus? Then praise Him. Praise Him, because through Jesus, you have already been given victory over the one who at one time was seeking to rip seed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, out of the soil of your soul. You've already been given victory there. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Then praise His name, because He has already given you victory over death. There is no more shadow or fear of death. We go from life to life, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. He's already given you power over death. He has already given you power over sin. He's already given you power over the devil. Praise Him for that. He's already given you power to be able to believe in Him. Live in that power as faithful believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The distinguishing mark of those who are children of God and children of the devil, what would that be? Is it those who have lived perfect lives and those who have not? Is that what makes some the children of God and others the children of the devil? No. We have all sinned. Every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So what distinguishes us? Jesus gives us a clue. Jesus gives us the clue in verse 42. If God were your Father, you would love me. Now, for those of you who have not been with us before, we see that in the Gospel of John, from Jesus' own words, love is something more than just an emotion. For those who love me will obey me. So that those who truly love Christ are walking in obedience to Him. If God were your Father, you would love me. So those who are of the household of God are those who love the Lord Jesus. Those who do not love the Lord Jesus then. Those who do not submit to Him. Those who do not trust in Him. Those who do not cry out to Him in their moments of travail. Those who are not leaning upon Jesus as their very present help in a time of trouble. Those who do not do these things fall into the category of the household of Satan. It is alone by the blood of the cross that any of us have hope. Only by the blood of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, who wrote a mighty fortress is our God, which we sang before. By the way, that song has something like 20 or 25 stanzas. I decided not to give you all. Maybe I should print them and hand them to you. But Martin Luther said that he had a dream one night that both troubled him and greatly strengthened him. Now, this is a dream. This is not scripture. This is the words of Martin Luther. This is not the words of Jesus Christ. But here is the dream. Martin Luther had a dream, as the story goes, in which he stood on the day of judgment before God himself, and Satan was there to accuse him. When Satan opened his book full of accusations, he pointed to transgression after transgression, of which Luther admitted guilt. Luther's heart sank in despair. And then he remembered the cross of Christ. And turning upon Satan, he said in his dream, "There is one entry which you have not made." The devil retorted, "What would that be?" And Luther answered, "It is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, which cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1:9. And woke with great assurance in his heart that though Satan should indeed buffet with all his accusations, Luther's only hope is our only hope. And it is hope sufficient for all eternity. The blood of Jesus Christ has forever defeated the work and the accusations of the devil. My friends, be aware of the devil, but don't think too much of him. Worship Jesus, the one who has given us victory. Let's pray. Our Father, I plead with you. I plead with you to deliver from the domain of darkness those who are children of the devil. As they do his desires, as they do his deeds, as they refuse love for Jesus Christ. Our Father, we pray that even this morning as we have heard the words of Jesus, not my own, the words of Jesus, that we would have great hope in Him who exposes the deeds of this fallen angel, but who calls us to Himself with all might, with all power, with all tenderness. All mercy. Oh Lord, I pray that we would indeed in this hour humble ourselves if we have not bent our knee to Jesus to call Him Savior and Lord, that this hour we will see the helplessness in which we stand before a holy God. We shall see, help us to see our true eternal destinies. And this hour, call upon Jesus to rescue us from the power of sin and death and Satan. Let not the gospel seeds that have been planted today be removed, but may they go deep and germinate in our souls and soon to express and blossom in faith, profess faith in Jesus Christ. And may that blossoming occur even this hour, Lord, at least this day, this week. That those who came into this place rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ would find power over death and power even over the devil. through faith in Jesus Christ. And Father, for those of us who are believers, help us to know Your truth more and more, that we may recognize more quickly the lies of the evil one. Let us acknowledge our weakness, that in our pride we would not fall. As believers, help us to love Jesus more than we love any sin in our lives. And with that love, be counted as Yours. Father, I earnestly pray for those who are only mindful of their sinfulness, only mindful of their struggles, only mindful of what seems to be impossibilities of anything changing. Lord, I pray that You would press upon them to look to Christ. Who is the hope of glory. And we pray these things, pleading these things earnestly, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.